Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is
Woo-hoo-hoo!
the early morning hours of Thursday, March 10th. And this is our Championship Week video notebook, day number 10, the 10th day of this 14-day week. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. David Dorman to my side. David Griggs in the bottom corner. Back with us again. 358 jerseys for Hope. Ryan Black wearing the Iona Gales jersey, saying farewell to a team that we are going to be discussing in a little while here.
So they're off the board, we think.
They were removed tonight. That was their third bad loss recently. Wow, it was just that's it for the Gales, I think. But we're gonna get to that and a lot of stuff tonight here. Let's start with news and notes. I don't think there's really much in terms of news and notes for from today outside of the conference tournaments. I got a note here that the Griggs, your lights are back on in the puppet bunker, right?
Yeah, the lights got fixed.
All right.
So,
Did you get any
yeah.
food yet?
No.
Okay.
TV
No,
fixed?
I'm locked in. Sort of. Yeah, it's got a few cracks in it, but it's doable.
Yeah, we got Griggs coming to us from the pop bunker, but we got a lot to get to. So let's just bring up the screen share here, if I can find a way to do it. If not, we'll just make things up as we go along. If I did things right, we should see the Patriot League on there. That was the one automatic bid that was handed out tonight. Colgate and Navy for the Patriot League. It's our last auto bid until Saturday. Dorman, let me start with you. Complete thrashing by the Raiders over the midshipmen.
Yes, it was. Colgate dominated the league all year long. They were the best team tonight. Navy kept it close. They were in the game. They were down 6-8 early second half. Colgate put the pedal to the metal, did not look back. Another league where we're getting what I think is clearly the best team that will be sent to the NCAAs. Colgate is going to be ready to rock next week.
Brian, you have thoughts on
We've,
them?
yeah, we are seeing, in my opinion, a decent amount of these top seeds, high seeds from, or strong seeds from these smaller conferences, these under the radar conferences, getting into the tournament. And that is going to make the NCAA tournament ripe for some really good upsets. There's going to be some really tough matchups for some of these, protected seeds.
We're going to get to a conference here in a minute where that did not happen.
We will in a minute, but before we get there, I want to go to another, the one conference that was in the semifinal stage tonight, at least. Everything else was quarterfinals or earlier, but it was, sorry, semifinal day in the America East, where Griggs, Vermont absolutely pounded Binghamton as we expected. Maybe not as we expected. UMBC also ended up pounding Hartford, although the game was close for a little over a half, at least.
I think Hartford at one point in the second half actually had a lead. I know they had a lead throughout the first half, but it was close. And then, UMBC did blow it open, but for 30 out of the 40 minutes, it was a semi-competitive game. The other one was not. And to be honest, I don't think the one Saturday will be either.
Yeah, this Vermont team has just looks so good. And they get this game at home against UMBC. We'll talk about it more Friday night, but not too much to talk about the Americans just because of how big of a blowout those games were. Let's go to some other conferences. Let's go to the conferences that were in the quarterfinal stage before we get to the earlier rounds. And Brian, why don't we start with that jersey you're wearing? One of the biggest upsets, a day of a lot of upsets. The Iona Gales can't even get out of the quarterfinals of the Metro Atlantic, falling to the Ryder Bronx.
Brutal. Brutal for Rick Pitino. He had talked so much about, a lot of aspects of how happy he was with his team this year. And boy, for a good portion of the season, they were really good and hit the skids at the worst possible time.
Yeah, this was a game where sorry, Dwight Murray hit the shot with about 7.7 seconds left, and Joyner for Iona with a big turnover. They just couldn't even get a shot off on the last possession. They just played bad as compared to St. Peter's Dorman, who played really good. It was not even as close as that 14-point final, what they did to Fairfield tonight.
Not at all. They were up like 20-some points at halftime. St. Peter's jumped out to a big lead and never looked back. St. Peter's is looking really good. They're probably feeling really good now that Iona's gone. They won't have to face them. All eyes on the Siena-Quinnipiac game tomorrow night. That will be St. Peter's semifinal opponent. But if I had to make, if I could repick, because I already had Iona, I like the way the St. Peter's team looks.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that we all just picked Iona and didn't even think too much about this, but suddenly this whole bracket's wide open. I agree with you. I like the Peacocks moving forward here. Greg, what about these two games tomorrow, though, the Monmouth-Niagara game and the Quinnipiac game?
Well, it's interesting you to bring that up, Chad. Monmouth, despite finishing fourth and kind of nosediving toward the end of the year, showed quite a bit of promise for very much of the season. The fact that their bracket has collapsed might breathe new life into them. They got to figure if they could get by Niagara, that they're going to walk into the championship game. I think I'm going with Monmouth, even though they're the four seed, to win this tournament now.
All right. That's where you're going. Let's go over to some of the major conferences. We'll get back to the smaller ones.
I mean, we might actually have a team from Jersey in the tournament.
Seton Hall's. I'm sorry. To knock themselves out.
We've got Ryder, Monmouth, and St. Peter's here. Jersey's looking really strong in the Metro Atlantic right now.
Oh, in the Metro Atlantic. But not in the Big Ten.
Seattle will end up winning it after all that.
Well, Brian, you're going to Seattle. Okay. Let's jump over to the ACC, which was fascinating today.
What a day. What a day.
Crazy day.
Okay. Okay, starting with Syracuse actually manhandled Florida State. That was not much of a story. But, Brian, let's start with the BC-Wake Forest game. Wake Forest was in trouble most of this game, came back, game ends up going to overtime, and BC just takes over in overtime and ends up pulling off the major upset. Really big blow to Wake Forest tournament chances.
Very, very damaging for Wake Forest, you know. It's funny, so many of these bubble teams, the bubble I felt like a month ago was really strong and now has softened and gotten worse and worse and just seems to get weaker by the day. And you get teams like Wake Forest that basically have the red carpet rolled out for them. You know, Boston College has been a weak team all season and Wake Forest can't get
all season
out of. Yeah.
Boston College has been a weak team for much longer than this season.
Exactly. I can remember like them going to the tournament back in, what was it, like 06 versus Pacific and going to overtime. And that was the last thing I remember from them in the tournament. So, Wake Forest losing to Boston College. I mean, that is very brutal. Probably one of the worst losses I've seen for a team that's right there near that kind of nearish that cut line. It's going to be very close, and I don't know at this point.
Yeah, they're going to be sweating out Selection Sunday. A couple of teams that think they are in the bubble picture. I'm not certain they are or not, but first of all, Griggs, Virginia Tech gives up a 14-2 late run to Clemson so that the Tigers push the game into overtime. But then Darius Maddox with a three for the win at the buzzer at the end of overtime for the Hokies. Well, what a finish.
Okay, this is where I am with Virginia Tech. They've been out. We think they're out. Seemingly the consensus among all the experts think they're out. So why would beating a team that is even further out put them in? I think it's a non-starter.
Wait a second. It gives them a chance to play. Yeah,
okay, it does give them a chance to continue playing. That's an important point. But they still need to beat Notre Dame, or I think that they're out. Because right now they're out. And unless they do something better than what they've done, they shouldn't get in.
Right. I think another team you could say the exact same thing about was Virginia, who picks up a 1-point win over Louisville in an extremely ugly game. it was a long three at the buzzer to make it a 1-point game. It wasn't even quite that close at the very, very end. But, another crazy game. I guess, Dorman, we should also briefly go back to the Syracuse-Florida State game because – as we preview tomorrow's games, Syracuse game, Buddy Boeheim will not be playing for Syracuse tomorrow.
Buddy, cheap shot there. Yeah.
So suspended. There's a little controversy as to whether or not the ACC should have done it. To me, that something like that, the referees missed it, but it still happened. I don't have a problem with them suspending him, because had they retroactively changed the results of a game, that's an issue. But for a discipline issue like that, I think the commissioner had every right to do it. And I don't think it was the wrong decision. I'm not going to say that I would have thrown a fit had they not done it, but
I think they had to do it. So, I mean, it was
exactly.
It was clear. You can't do that. There's too much on the line these days. Yeah. There's a camera on every angle of the court. Yep. You don't do that. There's too much on the line. Your brother's on the site. Your dad's been coaching at the school for 44 years. You know better. You have a chance to knock off Duke and actually get on the bubble, so to speak, by winning three more games. And Duke is absolutely taking you to the woodshed twice this year. They would clearly have been focused. They clearly would have been motivated. And now their best scorer is not playing, and I really give them little shot. And if he was playing Buddy Buckets, I actually give him a good shot with the motivational factor and everything to actually be in the game and knock Duke off tomorrow.
Well, I think you guys are overreacting a little bit. It's not like we've seen something get out of hand this week.
props to Florida State for not like retaliating and getting like super heated over it, because they could have. I mean, it could have just been an absolute disaster there. At that point in the ballgame.
Yeah, we do got to keep moving on here, but take a look at tomorrow's games. Duke Syracuse game, we already kind of talked about that without Buddy Boeheim. That I agree, Syracuse has no chance. But the other questions here, Brian, can Boston College keep running? And do you think Virginia Tech or Virginia can win in their games against Notre Dame and North Carolina?
I don't. I think Virginia could beat North Carolina. Yes. I don't see Virginia Tech beating Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame pulls off that win by a couple points. I think it'd be close. I think Boston College's run is going to come to an end. Also, I think Miami's going to knock them off tomorrow. So, and then I think Duke's going to blow out Syracuse, especially without Buddy Boeheim. Like, I mean, that's again, that'll look like the Syracuse team that lost to Georgetown.
I kind of agree with you completely on everything you said there. So let's take a look at let's go, Griggs, to Conference USA. It is the conference of the curtain. And I know all four games were 10-plus point wins. In terms of seeds, the only upset was fairly minor was Rice defeating Charlotte. Not that big of an upset anyhow. But we had the curtain. And we now advance to the quarterfinal stage with more curtain tomorrow night. And I think we have some very interesting games actually tomorrow night too, Griggs.
Florida Atlantic and UAB should be good. I kind of am looking forward to see if UTEP can take that out. Middle Tennessee, been playing a lot better, looked pretty good tonight. North Texas is probably – well, let's get to the other one first. Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech is one of the best CUSA quarterfinal games I can remember for a very long time, really since the CUSA consisted of a lot of teams that are now in the Big East and ACC. That's a great quarterfinal game. And North Texas, they better not lose to Rice again.
Look for UTEP's playing.
UTEP's playing well. Yeah.
UTEP's playing much better. I agree with David 100%. UTEP has actually come on strong the last 6-7 weeks. I look for UTEP to be able to actually beat Middle Tennessee. And as good as the quarters are going to be, look out for these semifinals on Friday, because it's going to get crazy. UAB still thinks they're on the bubble. We don't, but UAB does. North Texas clearly on the bubble in everyone's minds. La Tech came into the season with huge hopes. This conference tournament is going to be fantastic.
I don't know why, but I'm kind of high on UAB. I think they may get it done and kind of shock everybody. Regardless of who comes out of this tournament, I think they're going to be pretty tough to beat.
I'll tell you my problem, Brian, is if you look at what UAB's done all season, I'll give credit to our friend Marco Miller for pointing this out, is they've not done well in the second game of back-to-back games, even when there's a day or two off in between. It's just their tempo they run. They get tired. I think they can beat Florida Atlantic. I think they can pound Florida Atlantic tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to have enough gas to win three games in 3 days, and that's the problem that they're going to have. I think if this UAB was in the NCAA tournament, they could win a first-round game. And they get blown out in the second round.
We make fun of the curtain, and there's so many games going on tomorrow. Conference USA kills themselves. Why are these games at the same time? Let them play throughout the day. Curtain or no curtain. I love these games. Why are you playing at the same time?
The women's tournament is
a mess.
But we love the curtain because if you buy a ticket to a game and you don't like the game you're at, you can just walk to the other side of the curtain and go to the other game.
Let's
keep that chat real quick. Games on Stadium tomorrow. I know it's on the bracket, but you're not going to see them on ESPN Plus. Games on Stadium tomorrow.
Yes. Games on USA Network. First time we've had conference match on USA Network.
The Cartoon Express, the A10 Express. Here it comes. Hanna-Barbera sponsoring the tournament.
It is David Griggs is going insane over there, but it was first round day in the A10. We saw the Big Ten matchup, the Big Five matchup with LaSalle being St. Joe's, and pretty good game actually between Rhode Island and Duquesne. That Duquesne actually came back and had a shot at the buzzer to win this game, even didn't go in. But we move on to the quarterfinals now. Dorman, let me ask you about this: Fordham, George Mason, St. Louis, LaSalle, GW. UMass, Richmond, Rhode Island. Anything you're looking for in these four games tomorrow? One team still maybe on the bubble in St. Louis here.
I like St. Louis to win this game. I think St. Joe's and LaSalle are very comparable. But I look for St. Louis to take care of business tomorrow, beat LaSalle, and have a huge matchup on Friday with the Bonnies. That will be a fantastic game. Otherwise, I see some of these – George Mason should be able to handle Fordham, but Fordham's actually looked much better this year than they have in the last 20 years. So they have been competitive, at least. I also look for Richmond to be Rhode Island. Richmond, again, came in with a senior and junior-laden team. There was huge hype in the preseason. They fell on their face in the early out-of-conference season. Let's see if the seniors and juniors and Coach Maloney can bring them back and make a run.
I agree. This should be interesting games tomorrow. There could be competitive games. The conference tournament really gets interesting, though, on Friday when we bring the top.
Yeah, I think we're kind of – this is one of the opening rounds we got to get through before we get to the main course.
So. Griggs, let me go over to you because it was first round day in the Big East. Start with that first game here. Let's give it a few minutes of its own here. Xavier Butler, overtime after Scruggs made an absolutely incredible play towards the end of regulation. Got the ball to go in miraculously with an underhanded shot while getting fouled. Missed the free throw and thought that he should foul because he thought that they were up three when they were only up two, maybe. I don't know. Butler makes the free throws, goes overtime, and wins the game.
Let me back up a little bit further than that. For an 8-9 game, it was a game Xavier needed to win, and even with the win, still probably needed to do a little bit more. I mean, not necessarily win the conference tournament, but I think they needed to win tomorrow as well. And it was a high-stakes game that was highly competitive, and I thought played at a high level. Xavier played pretty well for the first 39 minutes and 15 seconds. They had a 6-point lead, made some dumb plays just to get the game tied. You mentioned that it was tied and Scruggs hit the shot to put them ahead before making the dumbest play of all. The explanation that we got was either Scruggs thought they were up three when they were only up two and decided to foul, or he thought he was being instructed to foul from the bench and did so without really knowing why he was being told to. Either way, it may have been, considering the stakes of the game, and let's be fair, it didn't lose them the game. It sent the game to overtime. They still could have won in overtime. But even with that, given the stakes of the game, given that Xavier pretty much seemingly had the game won, and that they needed to win to save their season, that may have been the most consequential mistake of the entire championship week. It was a boneheaded play.
Yeah.
And Butler, the cherry on the top was the free throw shooter was a 91% free throw shooter. Yeah. leading the conference. Brilliant.
Butler moves on. Brian, the other two games, St. John's rolled DePaul, but Seton Hall got all they could take from Georgetown, a little bit more. But for a bad late turnover by Georgetown in the final seconds, the Hoyas may be able to pull this one off.
They almost did, and if they had, they would have removed all doubt about who the Stallings Award winner is going to be, because there's still a lot of contention about that. I personally don't think there's much contention, but you know, I feel like Georgetown, they put forth a really valiant effort. You know, Georgetown has 6 wins, and the other team in question has just, was it 3? So, Georgetown has that win against Syracuse. The other team in question has a win over another bottom feeder in their league, and that's their best win. So
I don't think this is closed. Oregon, like, Georgetown has a top 100 win. Georgetown has more overall wins. Oregon State has 2 tier 4 losses. This is going to Oregon State.
This is our award for the worst power conference team in D1. It really looks like Oregon State, who we'll get to in a minute here, but they also lost today. And both these seasons are over. Looks like Oregon State's going to win it. I agree completely at this point.
Yeah.
But those are those resumes, little Stallings
award.
What's that?
Is Seton Hall in trouble, or they just struggle with Georgetown?
I think they just struggle with Georgetown, and Georgetown is the defending Big East champs. So.
Dorman, real quick, what are your thoughts on these 4 games tomorrow? Butler, Providence, Creighton, Marquette, Villanova, St. John's, and UConn, Seton Hall, who played some really good games during the regular season this year.
I'm excited for all 4. I look for the Johnnies to electric, which should be an incredible atmosphere at home in the Garden. I look for the Johnnies to give Villanova everything they can handle. That game should go right down to the wire. The way Seton Hall looked today, I look for Connecticut to be able to win that one. Creighton Marquette, that game is up for grabs. The injury to Creighton point guard is devastating, but they've played a couple great games this year as well. And Butler, David said Xavier played well today. I agree. Butler probably played as well as they have all year. They might be able to give Providence a run for their money tomorrow morning.
Okay, those are the games tomorrow in the Big East. Let's go over to the Big Sky Conference, where we had actually the games were fairly close here. Sacramento State did lead most of the way, but Idaho had a shot to tie it at the end. Portland State did roll Idaho State, and the last game here, Eastern Washington made a late run. They were down. They came back to win this game.
Came back. Yeah, to win that one. So good on them. Sacramento State winning the newly donned Sacco Cup.
But it also gives us, though, Brian, heading into tomorrow, Montana State, Sacramento State, Weber State, Montana have been the 2 powers of this conference for years, playing in a quarterfinal. Portland State, Southern Utah, quick note, Tavion Jones, one of Southern Utah's best players, is done for this season with an injury, so that could hurt the Thunderbirds here. And the Nocoewu Cup in the late game, Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington. What do you think? Any upsets coming tomorrow?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Portland State pull the upset on Southern Utah, to be honest. They're playing good. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised. But the Big Sky really needs Montana State to win. I mean, if they want to have any chance of getting that first round upset, I think Montana State, you know, this was their first conference regular season championship in the 22 some odd years or something like that. It's been a long time. So, you know, I think they're probably going to come out of this league, but we'll see. You know, they're not used to being at the top of the league standings.
Dorman, it was first round day in the Big Ten, which saw actually a pretty good game between Northwestern and Nebraska, although it looked like a complete blowout in the first half.
Northwestern looked like they were disinterested. Their defensive assignments, they were blowing left and right. They couldn't hit a jump shot. Whatever Chris Collins said at halftime really fired up the Purple Wildcats, because they came out on fire, and especially on defense. The defensive intensity picked up. Nebraska kept throwing the ball away. Northwestern came all the way back and hit 2 free throws late to get them up 3. Nebraska got off a bad looking shot at the buzzer, could not hit it. Northwestern moves on, and they play Iowa tomorrow now.
Yeah, the other game, Minnesota tried to take a page out of IUPUI's playbook. They had zero substitutions until the under four timeout in the second half before they made their first substitution of the game. Five players only the entire game. They're not a very deep team to begin with, and one of their starters, EJ Stevens, was apparently suffering from a very bad migraine. He's the guy that didn't even come in until towards the end of the game. But Penn State does get the win. Griggs, what do you think about these four? Well, you know what? Let me start with the top two here. Northwestern against Iowa, and how about this Michigan-Indiana game tomorrow to start?
Iowa against Northwestern, that kind of just has the feel of a regular like game that Iowa should be able to win against a non-tournament team. But Michigan-Indiana, bubble implications here, especially for Indiana and maybe for both. I think Michigan's in whether they win or not, but I don't even think I'll be thinking that if they win tomorrow. They should be in, so big stakes there.
And Brian, how about the other two games? Maryland, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. Do you think either one of these, the higher seeded teams, might be in trouble tomorrow?
I don't know. Possibly Michigan State. You never know if Maryland could be a little scrappy with them. I don't think Ohio State is going to struggle with Penn State. I think they'll beat them pretty handily. I think Michigan State is going to win, but I don't think it'll be by a massive margin. And then as they move on, they'll set up, you know, some really nice matchups, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and then Purdue and Ohio State. You know, I think that bottom half of the bracket will go pretty chalky.
All right. Brian, let me stick with you, jump over to the Big 12. There's only one game today. It was the 8-9 game. Was that a pretty good game, all things considered, between mm-hmm. West Virginia and Kansas State, though, although the Mountaineers did get the win.
And they got the win. Bob Huggins, he stays alive. And, you know, I'd love to see him and, you know, find a way to upset Kansas after, you know, this season that's been a bit of disappointment for West Virginia, to say the least, you know, by Bob Huggins standards. It'd be pretty crazy. Yeah, I'm going to just head on into Kansas City and beat the Jayhawks. That said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Kansas will win fairly handily. And then again, I think it feels to me personally like Kansas and Baylor are destined to meet up in the conference title game.
I'm starting to think that K-State might be in a little bit of trouble.
They're not going to make the tournament now, any tournament. We've got Dorman, though. We've got a hell of – maybe the Kansas-West Virginia game is a blowout. Oklahoma might be able to give Baylor a battle, but probably not. But how about these other two games tomorrow? Texas-TCU, Texas Tech-Iowa State in the quarterfinal round.
Incredible matchups. I look for Coach Chris Beard and the Red Raiders. I really love Chris Beard in a tournament setting. He just gets his guys ready. They really dig in. He loves tournament time. His teams always seem prepared and motivated. I like Texas Tech to beat Iowa State tomorrow night.
Okay, but Chris Beard actually has to be Texas now, not Texas. Not what? Texas Tech.
I'm sorry.
I think you just pissed off the entire Texas Tech universe.
I'm confusing myself.
Raiderland is going to blow up.
I apologize, Mark. Coach,
he said that Texas. So they would assassinate Chad next time they have him on.
I apologize, Chad. Texas, yeah. I do like Texas to beat Texas Tech for that reason. Beard is a great tournament coach. I also do like Texas Tech's matchup against Ohio State, against Iowa State and TJ Holtzberger's team.
Yes.
Although great it's been, segment.
I will not be announcing the Big 12 tournament tomorrow afternoon. But for more in-depth analysis, please hit me up on Twitter.
I kind of disagree. I like the Hawkeyes over Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's confusing me too.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going off the rails here. Just for that,
like, let's try and make every Big 12 team really angry at us. Okay.
The Texas TCU game. That's Chris Beard versus Jamie Dixon. Texas Tech Iowa State. That's where Mark Adams is against TJ Elsberger, but those should be great games. Oklahoma believes they may still be on the bubble. They absolutely have to beat Baylor, and I don't know if they can tomorrow. But
yeah,
no.
Big game for the Pokes tomorrow against Baylor.
Jesus. Okay. We're going to the MEAC just for that, which actually had a pair of great quarterfinal games. The only two games tonight, Delaware State gave Norfolk State all they could handle, and Coppin State gave Howard more than they could handle and pulled off the upset. Brian, your thoughts on these two games?
I love these HBCU tournaments because literally it's like a coin flip. Like on so many seasons, I feel like a team could be like a 6, 7, 8 seed and come out of these leagues like any given year. It's one of these leagues. And yeah, it's great if the top team, you know, if Norfolk State comes out, then sure, they're probably going to be the team that has the best chance of pulling any sort of upset. But at the same time, like these teams are so evenly matched here towards, you know, the bottom of the net rankings. It's so in and out. You never know what you're going to get night in and night out. And yeah, what a great effort by Delaware State. They had obviously a very, very rough season. So again, we saw Georgetown put forth a valiant effort, Delaware State put forth a valiant effort. Some of these teams are towards the bottom of their leagues, you know, really doing their best to try to move on, falling short. But, you know, it was great to see that effort from them.
And how about the ending of the Howard Coppin State game, though? Nenda Tarka for Coppin State gets the game-winning shot at the buzzer-beating shot. Here's a little fact about him. This is his fourth game-winning shot, three of which have been buzzer beaters of the season. This guy is the guy you want with the ball in the last second, no matter what team you are, I think. So congrats to Juan Dixon's Coppin State team moving on. Griggs, what do you think about the other two quarterfinals tomorrow? Morgan State, South Carolina State, NC Central against Eastern Shore.
I'm tempted to just take the chalk with Morgan State and NC Central winning. But like Brian said at the beginning, these HBCU tournaments, even at the final round, you just see some incredible games year after year after year. And we had just made the comment the other night that like, don't be in this tournament in particular, the SWAC 2, but especially in the MEAC, they have a history of 1-8 upsets and ones really having to sweat out the 8 in the quarterfinal game. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like jokingly said yesterday that, you know, don't be surprised if more Norfolk State struggles with Delaware State. But I was joking.
Okay, let's keep moving here. We got a lot to get to still. Mountain West, it was first round day. Nevada got a bit of a battle from New Mexico, made a late run, but Steve Alford knocks Richard Pitino out, so both Pitinos gone tonight. Utah State completely rolled Air Force, and Griggs, I got to go to you, because Tim Miles, San Jose State Spartans almost pulled off the major upset, took Fresno State to overtime, but didn't quite have enough. Jordan Campbell wins it with about half a second left.
Right, it was, well, Tim Miles, another incredible run, just so close to making the Mountain West quarterfinals. I mean, and you hate to see such a great tournament run come to an end like that. Just one game away from the quarterfinals. I mean, only 8 teams right make the quarterfinals. There's teams in the top 25 that don't make the Mountain West quarterfinals. Kentucky, Baylor, not making the Mountain West quarterfinals. It would have just been so close to an amazing accomplishment.
Okay, I gave you your 3 seconds. We're done with that. Dorman, what do you think about these four quarterfinals tomorrow? Boise State, Nevada, Wyoming, UNLV, Colorado State, Utah State, San Diego State, Fresno State.
I'm glad you came to me with this question, Chad. I think all the favorites are on upset alert tomorrow. All these underdogs are live to win outright. There could be craziness at Thomas and Mack tomorrow. I really think that. I wouldn't be surprised if 2 or 3 really won the game tomorrow.
I think all four of these games come down to the wire. We may see two, maybe three overtime games, hopefully a buzzer beater or two. This Mountain West is the deepest I've ever seen it. So top to bottom.
Game that may not, I think, is actually that last one, that San Diego State, Fresno State. If Fresno State plays the way they did tonight, San Diego State's going to roll them out of the building. It feels
like Fresno State sometimes to play like down or up to their opponent's level. It all depends whether or not you're going to get that team. So,
SEC, it was first round day. Missouri took care of Ole Miss. Vanderbilt absolutely trounced Georgia in what may have been Tom Crean's last game there. But Griggs, how about tomorrow? And again, let's start with the top two games here also. LSU, Missouri should be an easy win for LSU. But what about this A&M Florida game that is
I think that's
circling?
A, Yeah, I think that's a bubblicious game. I know no one else on the Hoops HD staff has really opened up to A&M yet. Like, but I think that they're right in there. And if they win tomorrow, that might actually be enough to get them very close to the field. Even if they, because losing to Auburn certainly isn't going to send them back. And if you look at their resume, pull it up real quick. It's pretty good. You can see that, like, this game has tournament implications for both them and Florida. I mean, if you put them, let's put them, yeah, side by side here.
Okay. Give me a second on that. I got to load. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep talking while I load things up.
Okay. Well, it takes our thing a little while to load. Like, not exactly. Crackpot 1, 2, 3. That's not Texas.
Especially with the bump.
Okay. At Alabama
this week. And
right. Absolutely, dude. And look at, like, that profile. It tops out a lot higher than what a lot of bubble teams have. They actually have a neutral floor win over another bubble team. You know, the loss at home to Missouri kind of has you holding your nose, but nothing else really does. Is that arguably a better resume than what Florida has right now?
You got to look at the quality of the wins. Auburn and Ohio State are better than Alabama and Arkansas, but I agree that this Texas A&M team is close. Absolutely needs to beat Florida. I think they've got so much bad, they probably need another win beyond that. But then it's really interesting if they somehow beat Florida and Auburn.
Well, if they beat, I don't think it's interesting. I think that they're locked if they do that.
The other two games tomorrow, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Alabama, Vanderbilt. Brian, maybe the question is, could Alabama be in trouble against this Vandy team that has played a lot better than in recent years?
Yeah, they have. And, we'll see. Can Nate Oates get the guys ready? Alabama has been very hit or miss. They've gone through some real cold stretches in ball games this year. So, you never know. You get a bad stretch during a ball game for them tomorrow. And yeah, they could certainly be on upset alert. And as far as the other game, South Carolina, Mississippi State, I don't know. I think South Carolina is probably going to pull off the win, but you never know. With the SEC, with this second round, it's, a lot of, like you said, I think a lot of this still, even though there is some bubble implications, it's kind of waiting to get to that main course of the quarterfinals.
Dorman, it was first round day in the Southland today. Houston Baptist and McNeese State, the two teams that went four overtimes at the end of the regular season, they both picked up wins today, knocking off Incarnate Word and Northwestern State, respectively, to move on. Houston Baptist gets Corpus Christi tomorrow. McNeese gets New Orleans. Can they keep it rolling?
I'm going to say no. I like New Orleans to knock off McNeese here. Houston Baptist definitely has the team to beat to knock off Corpus Christi. These teams to me are real tight in talent. Neither one is extremely well coached, but again, knock down shots, play good deed. Whoever can hit the bigger shots is going to win this game.
It was also the first two quarterfinals in the SWAC. And last night, Griggs, I said, when it comes to the SWAC, any of these eight teams I thought could win it. And guess what? The top two teams played, and they both almost got upset, yet somehow pulled out
wins. Yeah, I still don't know how Texas Southern survived. Alcorn State was dead to rights. And, not only – it wasn't like that they had a big lead and it slipped away and they held on. They basically – appeared to be defeated, both of them, very late in this game.
Yeah, the final, the end of regulation for Alcorn State, they were down and down 3 points. And Prairie View had the ball with about 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
They tried to foul, and instead they get a steal. Yeah. They gave up a shot, which they misses. Prairie View gets the ball back. Alcorn again goes for a steal, and again gets goes for a foul, and again gets a second steal, kicks it out for the three. It goes in, tie game. It goes overtime. It was an amazing ending.
Swactacular in Birmingham. It was amazing. Our friend Lee Del Vecchio lost his mind. I happened to have him on the phone when it happened. He could not handle it.
In the overtime tip off, there was a foul on the tip off that I've never seen in my life. I've watched way too much college basketball that one person should ever watch. I've never seen a foul on a tip off in overtime ever.
I haven't either.
Dorman, what about these other two games tomorrow? Florida A&M versus Alabama A&M, Southern versus Grambling, a little Bayou classic here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been on them all year. I'm going to stick with them. I love this Southern Jaguar team. I think they're really well coached. They play hard-nosed D. Again, these games just come down to who can knock the shots down. But I do like Southern. I think they have a great chance to knock off Grambling. Florida A&M and Alabama A&M is up for grabs. This game is going to be tight throughout, I think.
It was first round day in the Pac-12 today. I was waiting till the end here because one of the games is still ongoing as we record this. But Brian, if you're back, I want to talk with you about.
Yep.
Let's start with your team. You're an Oregon Duck guy.
Yeah.
Ducks down one of their best players. Found a way to beat the very bad Beavers today.
Well, and that's the thing is Will Richardson, who is, I guess, supposed to be the leader, just kind of disappears at times during games. Like, and that had happened early in the season and it had happened down the stretch during the season. And so him being gone is one of those sort of, okay, let's see like what Oregon has kind of in terms of depth. And as it turns out, you know, a couple other guys for Oregon actually had some injuries in the second half too. And yet it still didn't matter because the Beavers are just so bad that Oregon is in free fall. Was the last they lost like three straight. They got beat by the Washington team, so they're just as cold as anybody coming into this conference tournament. And the Beavers still, you know, just looked like minced meat out there. Like they just really did not look good. You know, a lot of buyer's remorse given Wayne Tinkle that 6-year extension after that Elite Eight run. I can't think of any other team that's ever made the tournament one season and fallen so far the season after that, especially one that made it, you know, several rounds into the tournament. So just a crazy, crazy situation there. Oregon gets the win. They go up against Colorado tomorrow. That's a huge game, obviously, for both teams. I don't think either of them will be able to beat Arizona, but we'll see. Maybe Arizona will screw up like the Sun Devils did today. And they had, what was it? Let Stanford go on a 16-1 run. At the end of that game. And then we had one of our handful of buzzer beaters that we had today for Stanford. And that was just one of those things where everyone was just sitting there watching the ball bounce around for a couple seconds, waiting for it to drop through the basket. So, yeah, those first two games, you know, there was a real close ball game there, that fun game there at the end with Stanford coming back. And then, you know, Oregon winning by 14. Washington State, not really a big surprise that they're able to knock off a pretty, you know, lackluster Cal team. And as we speak, currently, as we're saying, Washington currently leading Utah by 9. 11 minutes to go in that one. So
yeah, it looks like Washington's looking pretty good. Yeah, it was James Keefe for Stanford who got that shot that went in at the buzzer there.
And we'll see if those Washington teams can give the, you know, assuming Washington holds on, see if they can give the LA teams can run for their money and be kind of a little travel partner sort of feel to that, to those two games there on the bottom part of the bracket.
Yep.
Brian, is the Bobby Hurley experiment over in Tempe?
Yeah. I think tonight was the nail in the coffin. I had been saying, boy, you know, he'd been really getting them motivated. They've been playing better ball these last few weeks. If they could win a game and if they could somehow upset Arizona, then that might save his job. But I mean, that letting the team go on a 16-1 run against you, and that's it. If for him, it
has to be.
Okay.
There's quitting onto him.
Griggs, real quick, do you see any upsets in these games tomorrow? Stanford, Arizona, Oregon, Colorado, Washington State, UCLA, and probably going to be Washington, USC.
No, I actually don't. I realize that that's a boring analysis, but I think the chalk holds and we're going to have a 1-4-2-3 semi.
Right. Yeah, I think if Oregon can win this, they're definitely in that NCAA tournament picture, but I think they need this win, and I don't know, being shorthanded, if they can. Sorry, Brian.
I was going to say, the only way they are is if they can knock off Arizona and one of the LA teams back-to-back and, you know, win it all. That's the only way. I just don't see
I don't think they're that far out, but we'll see. They got to win tomorrow first before we can talk any further.
Yeah.
It was second round day today in the WAC. First of all, just a quick note, after we finished recording last night, Utah Valley did end up blowing out Chicago State in the second half. in that game behind Trey Woodbury, actually, who's averaged over 15 points a game last year, hadn't played all season because of an injury. This was his first game back. Kind of gave the team an uplift. He only scored about 5 points, but he's also playing tonight. As we record, this is about 2.5 minutes left. Their game against Abilene Christian, they're down 6, not looking very good, but they got a little bit of time left.
And that ends the Chicago State era in the Western Athletic Conference. Unfortunately for them, I hope things work out. You can't help but want to see this program experience some level of success, or at least some level of not being among the 10 worst programs in the nation. Needing a home, they bring the Chicago market. Hopefully they can find a place to play and they're not just some independent, because I mean, they might not play 4 games at home all year without conference affiliation.
Other game tonight was Sam Houston, who thoroughly took care of California Baptist. Sam Houston goes on to play Grand Canyon at Dorman. I think this could be a good game here tomorrow between Sam Houston and Grand Canyon.
I completely agree. I thought Baptist was going to give Sam Houston a run for their money. I said it last night. Not to be. Sam Houston jumped all over Baptist. I agree. Sam Houston could definitely play with Grand Canyon tomorrow night. I look for another really great competitive game there. Both these games in the WAC tomorrow should be really good basketball.
Yeah, it should be fun, especially if we get that Stephen F. Austin Abilene Christian game that looks like we might get, although there's a little bit of time left. If we do get that, that's an old Southland battle. So
bringing in these old Southland teams, these top Southland teams, is a good thing for the WAC and really bolsters that league's strength.
That was it, believe it or not, for all of today's action. Let me just double check my notes. I think we covered it all. We do have a few other conferences that are in action tomorrow that were not in play today. I'm going to start with the Big West, where, among other things, first of all, we did not discuss it because we recorded a little bit early last night, but UC Davis did hold off Cal Poly late last night to get that win in the 7-10 game. But it is going to be quarterfinal round day. Long Beach versus Bakersfield, Irvine versus Santa Barbara, Fullerton versus Davis, and Hawaii versus Riverside. Griggs, your thoughts on these 4 games tomorrow?
Well, we kind of previewed it when we previewed the conference. Beach has had an incredible year, a real turnaround for them, because after being really good in this conference and having several years where they were disappointing, here they are the first place team. So it would be fun to kind of see them get into the NCAA tournament again. But how about this 4-5 game? UC Santa Barbara, a team that we all liked, at least I know that I did, and I think you did too, Chad. Coming into this season, we didn't think they would just be the best team in this league. We thought they could be inside the bubble, one of the best under the radar teams out there. And they've had a disappointing year, but they finally seem to be. It took them so long to get there, but in the last week or two, they finally seem to be looking like the team we thought they'd be. And the Eaters, really good too. For a while, they spent a couple weeks in our under-the-radar top 10. So this is a fun game tomorrow. And the winner of that game could honestly win this conference tournament, the way both teams have been playing.
Yeah, I look at the bottom there. Also, look for that late game. The Hawaii-Riverside game could be a very good game as well. These two very good teams this season during the course of the year.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know that Fullerton's going to have much trouble with Davis, but we'll see. We also have 2 other conferences starting tomorrow. The first time we've taken a look at their brackets. Brian, it is first round day in the American. Let's start with these 3 games. Cincinnati, East Carolina, Wichita State, Tulsa, UCF, South Florida. Anything to look forward to at all in these 3 games?
I don't think so. This is definitely let's get through these 3 games and then get the quote unquote real tournament started. You know, I feel like all 3 of these are going to be a formality.
Who do you think is going to win this, Brian?
I think, I keep deliberating, but I want to say that SMU is going to find a way to get it done and knock off Houston in a close game.
Dorman, what do you think?
I like Brian's pick a lot. I do. I like the SMU-Memphis winner, if it materializes, to also knock off Houston in the finals. So I'm good with SMU.
You know what? I'm going to make it 3-for-3. I'm with you too. SMU. Wow. Griggs? Woo. Griggs, you want to do it?
Pony up. Pony up.
I like the pick, but it's not the one I'm taking, but I'm not taking Houston either.
Ride the ponies.
As much as I've beaten them up, I think Memphis can win this tournament. I do want to give a shout out. I don't think they're going anywhere. Maybe they win on Friday. Tulane, their program trending in the right direction. Ron Hunter doing a fantastic job with Tulane. That is not a backhanded compliment. I really, really, I mean, he has elevated them higher than I can recall them being in recent memory. And next year, they're really going to have something.
Yeah.
He elevates every program he coaches.
Yeah, he does.
One other conference starting tomorrow. It's the second to last conference to start. We still haven't started the Ivy League yet, but tomorrow is first round, yes, quarterfinal round day in the MAC. We've got, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, Toledo, Central Michigan, Akron, Buffalo, Kent State against Miami, Ohio, Ohio against Ball State. Dorman, let me start with you. What are you looking forward to tomorrow in these four games?
Wow. I'm going to go with Akron Buffalo. I think that's a terrific matchup. They played tight. I think the winner of that game will give Toledo everything and then some that they can handle Friday night. So Akron Buffalo to me is the game of the day in the MAC.
Ohio really had trouble with Ball State. This is not the team they wanted to be playing in the first round also. State had their number this season, so keep an eye on that one too. Dorman, who do you think wins this?
Kent State.
I like it too. I'm with you, Kent State. Brian,
right there, 3 for 3. I've been looking at it, and I keep saying, because of that matchup on the bottom, Ball State and Ohio University are going to beat each other up. I think Kent State will take care of Miami University. I think Kent State is going to get it done. I think they'll get to the NCAA tournament.
Griggs?
Yeah. Before I give my pick, because it's the same as all of you, I just want to say that, I think all these teams need to win I think five of these teams are good enough to win a game in the round of 64, but all five of them need to win this conference tournament to get there. And the team that will do it is Kent State. The other ones that are really good, Toledo, Akron, and Buffalo in Ohio.
Good. You just pick the whole conference. Why don't you? Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Northern Illinois, not even the field, but let's go over to our survival board.
Oh, yes, the survival
this
board.
This is our NCAA tournament survival board. Where it was heading into play today, there were 210 teams left. And we've got – this is a service we do for the committee, Griggs, correct?
Yes, and we have an email correspondence to share, don't we, Chad? Do we have that today or is that
– I don't have – we have to share that tomorrow. We have the email. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty. We don't have the email available tonight, but go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll get to this. But it is a – we have an obligation to the public, but we also have an obligation to the committee itself to educate and inform them, and that is one of the things we do with this board. They can come to this board when they're in the room and see who they need to be selecting, who they need to be considering, who they need to not really pay attention to unless they win the auto bid, and who they absolutely don't need to select at all. As you see the four different categories.
Right, so you see Jacksonville State has clinched an automatic bid. They're in bold and caps also. That's the team that's in. If they're wondering whether Houston is in, they're in blue. They're in.
Yeah.
If they're wondering about North Carolina, that's a team to debate because they're in green.
Yeah, you got to debate them. So, they put them under consideration.
Right. And if they're wondering about a team like, Fordham, only if they win the auto bid.
Only if they win the auto bid, yeah.
Right. So we scroll down here and...
What is that? Yeah.
We lost half the... looks like Carver Bible has completely taken over our survival board. They are in blue. I guess they're in.
We got to get that. Well, again, we have a duty to the committee to get it right.
There were 210 teams.
They're the national champs. Griggs can leave the bunker.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe you can. We'll have to look into that. This is where we were heading into the day, 210 teams. As a result of today's action, 174, big jump. It'll actually be down to 172 by the end of the night when these last two games that are going on right now are over. So very, very busy day.
Am I correct in that tomorrow is the biggest cut down day of the entire year?
It is.
That Thursday?
Yeah, you're going to be busy tomorrow, Brian.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wardrobe changes.
Lot of wardrobe changes. It's going to be a lot of fun. Marathon.
Yeah.
How about a rivalry creator real quick here?
I
threw one up there that everyone knows about. It's a real rivalry, Connecticut and Central Florida. It's a civil conflict, right?
Yeah, the conflict. Yeah, there you go.
But this is a tool that we do to help people that have a team that they're not certain who their team's chief rival is, what type of name they have for the two of them. The computer will put the teams together and create the name of the rivalry, correct?
Yeah, yes. Like the name of the rivalry or the trophy or whatever, or both.
Yeah. Well, we saw today St. Peter's is now the favorite to win the Metro Atlantic. We also saw Colgate today clinch an NCAA tournament bid. Well, I was wondering, what if these two teams are not that far apart? What if they became rivals? What would that be?
We'll see. We can see how far apart they are in a minute. But yeah, what would the name of this one be?
St. Peter's Gate.
All right.
Let's find a little more details about these two schools here. Also, they are 8 miles apart. Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
The rivalry creator is really sweeping the nation.
Yeah, it is. People are talking about it all over the place.
Yeah. Let's throw another one up. One more up there. Quinnipiac. They're going to be playing tomorrow, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Maryland's going to be playing tomorrow out of the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, and this is a natural rivalry. I mean, natural. Pretty close in ability.
Let's find out what this would be called. This would be the this is the quintuple header.
Oh man!
All right, that's just right up rally there, Griggs.
I love this rivalry. When are they gonna?
Let's go to final thoughts, Dormy. Let me start with you.
The committee has gotten together. The band is together. More members than ever. I believe they're up to 15 this year. Is that right, David?
12. It's 12.
12. All right. The 12, which is the most they've ever had. Look for a lot of maybe different philosophies, different opinions in the room. It'll be interesting to see where they go because, like, Wake Forest decided to lose today and their net is high. And when you get a different group of members and how they work together, you could get a lot of different opinions and a lot of different results. So it'll be real interesting to see how this committee parcels all this out. Great games coming all weekend. It's ready to go. It's ready. It's go time now.
Brian.
You know, I look at that Michigan and Indiana game tomorrow, and that just screams like the definition of like a win and in. And that to me is the game like right away, and is going to kind of set the tone, in my opinion. But yeah, these bubble teams, you know, some of them just keep kind of shooting themselves in the foot. So it's going to be interesting to see if more of that happens. You know, obviously tomorrow, if we get any, I don't think we're going to see any bid thief implications tomorrow so much. We may see some, but. You know, the real thing is obviously also looking at some of those top seeds in the under the radar conferences too, and seeing if they can navigate through their tournaments and cause havoc in that, in the NCAA tournament.
All right. Griggs, before I let you go, I'm going to throw a little final thought here of my own tonight here. I want to bring the screen share back up real quick. We talked earlier about our Stallings Award for the worst power conference team. We also have another award we give out. This is called the Centenary Award for the worst overall team in Division I. I've got two teams up here that finished without a D1 win all year, Delaware State and Lamar. Delaware State, a lot more bad losses, including a non-D1 loss to Salisbury State.
Yeah.
They're clearly the odds-on favorite here. But I want to just bring something up. Because I think there's a team that we're completely overlooking for the Centenary Award this year that is I'm going to want to shake things up here. And I am not going to be voting for Delaware State. I'm going to be voting for a worse team. I'm voting for Carver Bible. Are you guys with me?
I don't know if they're eligible. Well, they only played. They didn't quite play 24. Well,
they
D1
have
opponents.
Four non-D1 losses. Six non-D1 losses. That is
they
the
didn't
worst.
Lose any home games.
Well, true.
Yeah.
but they
did lose to NC Central by 52.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry. I know Delaware State was awful. Carver Bible was worse.
I know that this is unprecedented. I think that we should make them eligible for the Centenary. Just because
it's my vote. My vote's going for them. I don't care what you guys vote.
Honorary centenary.
I almost want to change it to the Carver.
Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
There are gems on the college athletics calendar. I would say the first weekend in December when you have the conference championship games in football, certainly the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, that Tuesday before the second Friday now in November, the opening of the season. But the Thursday of championship week is one of the gems on the college calendar. It is my favorite day of my favorite week of the season. And here it is tomorrow. There's a lot of good things after tomorrow, obviously with the NCAA tournament, but tomorrow is a special day. You can binge on college basketball for 15 hours. It's going to be great.
It is. And on that note, just a quick note here, as we recorded this, Abilene Christian did hold on to beat Utah Valley. So they will advance to play that game against Stephen F. Austin tomorrow. But on behalf of Brian Black, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again tomorrow night at some ungodly hour.
Right.
Have a great evening, everybody. Talk to you again then.